Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners plead.
Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 130. Psalms 130 and verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. What a marvelous blessing we have, and assurance of that. With him is plenteous redemption. Redemption is a word that is precious, and it becomes precious to us and those who put their faith and trust in Christ. It becomes more precious when we realize the background for it. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, many of you probably can quote this passage, but look at it again. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, a simple passage, but yet very deep, and one that we have become used to, and yet we need to be reminded again of all that's involved in this. Romans chapter 6, and verse 23. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Now, we normally jump to that next phrase, and rightly so. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what a hope and assurance we have. But think a few moments. The wages of sin is death. And that's death in every respect. The wages of sin, to begin with, the sin of unbelief, brings about a spiritual death to your life. Every soul that is born on this earth is an eternal soul. We're created in the image of God. Therefore, we are eternal. There is no such thing as when you die, you don't exist anymore. You will always exist, either in life or in death. We talk about hell, and rightly so, and Jesus preached about hell, the result of sin, and the wages of sin, the payment on it is death. And how that there a soul will live eternally, forever and ever, in the stage of death, never coming to an end. Pain never ceasing, constantly throughout all of eternity. But the other hand is, there's life. And the only way we could have life would be through redemption, the plenteous redemption. Now, there are a number of things that can be redeemed and that will be redeemed. First of all, we think about is our soul. Now, the wage of sin is not only spiritual death, but it's physical death. Take another look at the news. Just back off from your personal feelings in that. Because of alcohol and drugs, sin, you can call it whatever you want to, but it's sin. People die. The wages of sin is death. We've tried to preach that. We've tried to prove that. Even secular society tries to teach that as well, and yet people pay no attention to it whatsoever and think they can escape a physical death. Drugs can bring death to your mind, to your brain, death to you physically, death in every respect. Do the same thing with adultery. Man, that's a sin. Regardless of how you might want to dress it up and make it to be something that is acceptable, it's still a sin, and the wages of adultery is death. It brings death to you personally. It brings death to those around you. And if you're married and commit adultery, then you've got the death of your marriage. If you're single and commit adultery, you've got death to your character and nature. Death is a result of sin. Regardless of what it is, even that of what we would like to call a white lie, the wages of that is death. Your character can die. Your personality can die, as well as the final results of your soul being in eternity in a state of death. The wages of sin is death. And mankind, down through the years, and will until Jesus comes, try to figure out a way that they can cure this problem. That they can work it out so that they wouldn't have to die. They could cheat death, so to speak. Whether it be that of sins, daily sins, or that of the sin of unbelief. And coming to that place where they would no longer function on this earth at this time. Now, we know, and many of you are here tonight, are those who have been born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we know that we cannot solve this problem ourselves. We cannot work to overcome. We cannot have more good deeds to overcome the bad deeds to escape this penalty of sin. The only way for this to be done would mean not that the debt would just be canceled. That wouldn't even do it either. God said, okay, I'm going to just forgive the debt. And they can live and not have to die. No. The wage of sin had to be paid. That's what redemption is talking about. It's not a matter of canceling the debt. It's a matter of it being paid. And paid in full. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. In the book of Hebrews, we see that Jesus is greater than all. And Jesus is the one whose name is above every name, because he paid the price for our sins. He redeemed not only our souls, but he redeems our life. What a tremendous blessing we have. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, and crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus had to pay the full price. Now, for Jesus just to come as an angel or to come as some celestial being and to die on a cross would not satisfy. Jesus had to pay the full price for the wages of sin. He came, was born of a virgin. He walked in our shoes. He knows what it's like to be a baby, to be a child, to be a teenager, to be a young man, a young person, to be a young adult. He experienced the temptations just as we have, and yet without sin. And then in the flesh, we cannot even begin to imagine the suffering that he went through for us. Oh, he had to pay the full price, physically, spiritually, in every which way. And Jesus did exactly that, and praise God for it. He didn't leave anything undone. Not only did he suffer in the flesh physically, he suffered spiritually in that he witnessed for the first time in all of eternity God the Father turning his back on his only begotten Son. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time in all of eternity, Jesus was alone. The wages of sin is death, death of fellowship, death of everything. Jesus paid that price. He didn't leave anything undone. And what a Savior we have. So we're redeemed. We're redeemed by Jesus Christ. Look at it in John chapter 19 and verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30. Three little words that has tremendous meaning. Three little words that spells out redemption. Three little words that is fulfilled over and over again in many different areas. That God showed how that we could be redeemed from the curse of death through Jesus Christ. As he was on the cross, he had already been beaten. And now he was nailed to a cruel cross. The blood dripped from his hands and from his feet and from his brow. And as he suffered there on the cross, it came to the time when he willed to die. The cross didn't kill him. The soldiers didn't kill him. No one could kill him. Jesus was not murdered. He gave his life for us. He paid the supreme price willingly to do so. As God, he had the will to die. And praise God, he did. And as it came to that final moment, he could have at that moment called down the legions of angels and came off that cross. He could have healed himself and walked away, but he didn't. Notice it now in that verse 30 of John chapter 19. But when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Oh, what precious words. It is finished. The sacrifice of Abraham offering Isaac upon that same mountain. When it came time to offer Isaac, God stopped Abraham and a ram, not a lamb, a ram was placed there to postpone that sacrifice until the Lamb of God would come. It is finished. He completed that sacrifice. It is finished. He paid the full price for our sins. It is finished. Now people can be redeemed, not by their works, which they could not do by, but by his marvelous blood. And that would be available to whosoever that would call on his name. And that's available by God's marvelous grace, unmerited favor. What a blessing that we can have redemption to begin with, and then for it to be available to every soul by God's wonderful grace, and everyone can receive it by faith. From the time we're born as a small baby, all the way through our life, we experience faith. A baby experiences faith when it's worried, when it's scared, and then you hold it in its arms. It trusts you, the mother and the father. It has faith there. And then as that child will grow, in the very early stages of life, that child trusts their parents. They have faith in their parents. whatever their parents might say, and know that they feel safe by faith in their parents. And down through life, we experience faith in every area of our life. You turn on a light switch by faith. You start your automobile by faith. You do many things by faith. You sit in a pew in a chair by faith. And yet we say we can't have faith in God? Who are we kidding? God has made it possible for every individual, regardless of their education, regardless of their wealth, regardless of what they might have, by faith, through God's grace, they can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that marvelous? Oh, redemption, plenteous redemption. It's not limited to one race. It's not limited to one culture. It is for everyone, whosoever. And praise God for that. And no wonder we can sing and we can shout, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. As we think about being redeemed by Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, here the Bible declares to us, God is setting it down, and if these words are eternal, they cannot be changed, they will not be changed. You might alter them, you might try to change them, but it's written eternal in heaven, and it'll always be there. In verse 18, God said, for as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. But you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that marvelous? We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. What a blessing we have, and what a redemption we have. Well, what does that mean? The price has been paid. What are the results of it? Well, I'll have redemption when I die. No, you've got redemption now. You don't have to wait till you die to experience redemption. Right now, we experience redemption day by day, moment by moment, in every area of our life. A good example of this, the first thing that really comes to our mind, is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Oh, what a blessing this is. And one that is needed in our society today more than ever. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, talking about Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God doesn't forgive you because you join a church. He doesn't forgive you because you were baptized. He doesn't forgive you because you attend church. He forgives you because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Guilt removed. Man, you talk about healing. You talk about a blessing to you physically. When guilt is removed, healing moves throughout your body. Many times, doctors have expressed to me in visiting with patients and dealing with them after they witnessed me on a number of occasions of being in Macon hospital calls. He said, we need people that will visit with our patients that gives them a hope. We can apply all the medication that would heal them, but if they don't have hope, they'll die simply because they feel guilty. Praise God, we're the only ones that can offer that good news. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we have right now that redemption in forgiveness of our sins. You are free. You are, guilt is gone. The joy, the hope, the assurance we have now through redemption in the forgiveness of sins. And then in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Oh, what a precious passage that is here. In the matter of redemption by the blood of the Lamb. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. Now think about that. Now, the illustrations that I've heard time and time again are true, and they have an application. That is where a father was trying to teach his son about the dangers of sin and what sin causes in your life. And so he told the son, he gave him a piece of board, and he said, every time you do something wrong, put a nail in this board. And then as he brought the board in after a while, a lot of nails on that board. And his father said, I forgive you of these sins. Pull out the nails. And he pulled the nails out. But the board was scarred because of the sins that were there. Now that's partly true. But through redemption, I've got better news for you. God looks at that board. Though we might see the scars, we might see the effect of sins on our life, though we've had forgiveness of those sins, we might still see it there. But we can stand before God justified, just as if I had never committed one sin, as if that board had no marks in it whatsoever. And I can do that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed. That's not after I die. That's right now. I experience it every day. And there's times when I look at my life and see the marks of sin and wonder, how could God love me? But then he shows me the blood of my Savior. My sins weren't just canceled. They were paid for by my Lord and Savior. I have been redeemed, and I stand justified because of that redemption, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's a verse you need to just have before you all the time. What a blessing. What assurance we have of that redemption. And then notice Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Again, a wonderful jewel, a diamond in the rough that we see here, and how that God has made it so precious and polished it for us. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Galatians chapter 4. Well, let's read verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh my, what a blessing this is. I've shared with you before, I really did not feel or experience, though it might have happened, but I did not remember or experience it, the love of my real father. Though I know he loved me, probably, but what experiences and what had my memory was not pleasant in that. And then the stepfathers that came along, they had put up with me because they loved my mother. And there were some who probably really did love me, but I did not sense that love whatsoever. I felt secure at times, but not the love. Then as I heard the good news that not only would my sins be forgiven me and I would not have to spend eternity in the fiery pits of hell and I could have a place in heaven, but the good news that struck my heart was I would be a child of God and God would be my father, not my brother, my father. I'd have a father that would love me, take care of me, concerned about me. My grandfather, and by the way, my grandfather that loved me dearly, he was a step-grandfather. I didn't know that till I got up in years. My real grandfather, my grandmother's husband, had been killed, and early in their marriage, she had married Mr. Farmer. And he loved me dearly. When I went in the military, he'd send me letters telling me, you've got 4 years, 3 months, 7 days, and 6 hours before you get out. I mean, he was counting right down to the minute. That's love. And I could feel that love as granddaddy. But I have a father that loves me. And it's because I have been redeemed. Isn't that marvelous? I don't have to wait till after I die. Right now, I'm experiencing moment by moment, day by day, the love of my Heavenly Father, who holds my hand, who comforts me and strengthens me, who encourages me. Oh, what a Father that we have. And that's through the shed blood of Jesus, being redeemed by his blood. Look at that verse again now. In Galatians 4 and verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. For a while, that bothered me a little bit, being adopted. Now, I love that. Long for it. I have somebody that would really consider me as their son. And I didn't really experience that until after I had met my wife. And met her stepfather, Mr. Rutledge. As then, and accepted me into the family, and we were married, became part of that family, began to realize one thing that he believed and one thing that he practiced. There were no in-laws in the family. I wasn't a son-in-law. I was a son. There was no difference. When you're in the family, you're in the family. And I got news with you. When you're in God's family, you're in the family. What a precious thing. Redeemed unto the adoption of sons. And then we find in Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Now remember our text, plenteous redemption. Man, it's plenteous, isn't it? Great redemption, marvelous redemption. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Talking about Jesus, well, let's look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. My oldest son, Jerry Jr., he got on the kick of the family tree, searching out all of our ancestries and going back. And he likes the idea of being kind of like a detective, trying to find out and locate who our ancestors are and all that's involved. And that's intriguing to him as well. And we're finding out quite a bit of information. And then you'll see on television and other areas and then with various ethnic groups that they want to talk about their roots. And they want to remain be part of a nation, a race. Well, as he traced us back and through that, one of the problems with most people that have with me on that is most of my ancestry going back on my mother's side, my father's side, and all of that is, I mean, rooted right in Texas. So it, for a long time, from the very beginning of it, and then begin to go on back into the other part of the world on that, I could care less about that. I found my roots. I know the people that I'm of. And that's God's people. Through redemption, I am now part of that peculiar people of God. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that assurance? I don't have to worry about any other roots. And if there are on them, I just soon to cut them off. I don't care about them at all. I'm not a Texan. I'm not anything else. But I'm a child of God. Because I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And my roots go deep into all of eternity through my Heavenly Father and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Again, what a precious, precious information that we have here about redemption. My soul is redeemed. I will stand before the Lord. I know that. And right now, I I experience redemption through forgiveness. I experience redemption in having been a child of God, my roots being in that peculiar nation and peculiar people. And then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his, Jesus, his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I don't have to worry about, well, what if I goof up? What if I really mess up? What if I really do something unthinkable? Will I lose my redemption? I got news for you. It's not temporary redemption. It is eternal redemption. Because I've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. What assurance that I have. I tell you what, over these years that God has allowed me to experience this old earth and all that's involved in it, I've seen things that I thought was sure and solid and there could never be a change in it. I've seen those things literally wiped out. And if you just pay attention to the world and all that's going on, whether it be education, whatever else it might be, or the experiences, or a nation or a government, you find that there's no security in it whatsoever. There's no hope in it. But in Jesus Christ, my redemption never, never, never changes. My redemption is eternal because I've been redeemed not by the blood of Adam, but by the blood of my Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. I mean, I don't care what else comes and goes and how it falters or changes. My anchor is solid in the redemption of my Lord and Savior, because it is eternal. Now, not only do we have the redemption of our soul, and we have forgiveness of our sins and the guilt removed, and we have the excitement of knowing that we're a child of God, we're adopted into the family of God, knowing that we're justified before God. I have a little bit of concern and partiality about this old flesh that God gave me. Now, sometimes I act like I don't care anything about it. I'll do things to it that I shouldn't do to it. I won't take care of it. I'll abuse it and do a number of other things. But it's still me. There is a redemption of this flesh. Because you see, it was created in the image of God. It will be eternal. All flesh, lost and saved, will be raised, the lost in a body of death and decay. But my body has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Look at it now in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. What a precious power. A passage that is here, Romans 8 and verse 23, talking about that not only do we realize that we've been cursed by sin, realize that our world has been cursed by sin, even the animal kingdom knows that. And then in verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Praise the Lord. My flesh is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Do what you want to it. It'll rise again. Learn to call what people call the coffin by its real name. For a Christian, it's not a coffin. It's a closet where we hang our clothes, this old flesh. And when Jesus comes, he's going to open that closet and we'll put that flesh on, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, never to get old, never to die again. Look at Psalms chapter 49. Psalms chapter 49 and verse 15. Psalms chapter 49. Psalms 49 and verse 15. How that this is just not taught in the New Testament. It was taught in the Old Testament. in Psalms 49 and verse 15. What a wonderful prophecy that we have here. An assurance in Psalms 49 and verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Job had the wonderful knowledge that though my flesh perish, God will rise it again, and in my flesh I'll stand on the earth and see my Lord. This is explained to us of this redemption of the flesh in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. My body, my flesh, not just my soul, but my flesh, all of me, is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that redemption we look forward to. Mel's not here tonight. I don't know what happened to him. Might have to pray for him and see what. He came up to me this morning after Sunday school. He was back here. And he usually has something to say to me, try to get my mind going on something on that. We normally jab one another a little bit. But he came up and he said, is it really true that this old body is going to be redeemed and not have any more pains and aches? He was complaining. He said, man, right now, I'd sure like to have that. It's causing me some problems right now. But you see, we can face these old problems because we know our flesh is going to be redeemed. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, there's two things going on here. The resurrection of the bodies that have already been buried and turned back to dust, and the changing of the flesh of one who's alive at that time. That happens at the rapture. Not the second coming of Christ, but at the rapture. We'll not all die because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't have to be buried. My old flesh doesn't have to experience that. When Jesus comes, it will experience its redemption, just as my soul. When you ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus, you felt something change in your life. You felt the guilt of sin being released. Your internal makings of your body sensed something new and different in you. You experienced a love that you hadn't experienced before. Immediately, right then, when you believed, your soul and your spirit experienced a change that it could only experience through the power of God. At the time of the rapture, if it would happen right now, your flesh will experience that same thing. It will be changed. How quick? Look at that in verse 52 again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Why must it do so? Because it's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. My old flesh will be redeemed. Notice verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The wages of sin is death, but through redemption, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Redeemed. plenteous redemption. My, even my old body's going to be redeemed. Now, with all of that in mind, and we could spend hours and hours going through the Bible of the marvelous redemption that we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And this we see by faith. But I got news for you. Look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. And Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. Jesus was teaching his disciples about his return. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. And when Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, that's all the prophecies he talked about. The budding of the fig tree, the valley of the dry bones. All of that is happening now. About things are getting worse. And on and on. All of those are being fulfilled. When these things come to pass, then look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Isn't that great? Your redemption draweth nigh. My redemption is my Lord and Savior. He shed his blood on the cross. He paid the price for my sins. I'm redeemed by his blood. My sins weren't just canceled. It was paid for by Jesus Christ. And though I see him by faith now, I'm going to see him face to face. And that's closer today than it was yesterday. My redemption draweth nigh. Look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We've talked about it, but now let's look at the scriptures on it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. We have hope. In the time of what the world calls death, we have excitement and joy at the time that the world says we're separated from our loved ones for eternity. No, our loved ones taking a trip, a vacation, and they're coming back for us. They're coming back with Jesus. Look at it now, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if, this is your decision, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now look at verse 16. For the Lord himself, my redemption, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Oh, what a joyous reunion it's going to be. I'll get to see my grandfather. What a joy that's going to be. And my mother, and some dear friends of mine, as the pastor talked about this morning. And that's going to be a joyous thing up in the clouds. But I tell you what's going to be more joyous than that. As we greet and think about it and want to run into the arms of our loved ones, our attention is going to be drawn to the air. And there our redemption is, Jesus. And we'll be with him. And we'll come back to this earth because we have our redeemed bodies and live here on this earth for 1,000 years. My grandfather so desired to show me old Stonewall. And when I came to Ada, he was excited and thrilled. Son, you're at my home area. Find out where old Stonewall is. I said, Granddad, come up here and show me. I'll come get you. And he said, not now, son. I don't feel good. Granddaddy went home to be with the Lord before he could come up here and show me old Stonewall. But I got news for you. He's coming back with Jesus. And we're going to come back 7 years after that. And we're going to walk through old Stonewall. Why? Because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not only my soul has been redeemed, but my body has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Look at our text again in Psalms 130 and verse 7. Psalms 130 and verse 7. Oh, what a precious, precious word we have from God. In Psalms 130 and verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. Now look at Psalms 130 and verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for the Lord there, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Have you been redeemed? It's so simple a child can understand it. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us very clearly that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why? Because we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You can be redeemed tonight. You're willing to repent of your sins. Believe that Jesus died for you, was buried for you, raised again the third day. And you ask God the Father to forgive you and to save you by the precious blood of Jesus. Your soul, your spirit, and your body will be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Could be tonight you know some friends that are not redeemed. It might be you need to come to this altar and intercede in prayer for them. It might be that you're not enjoying your redemption because of sin that's in your life. Don't you know that sin's been paid for? Don't you realize that guilt can be removed because of the redemption? But when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of the blood of Jesus, we're redeemed. Wouldn't you like to have that burden lifted? You can do it at the altar tonight.